Why Buzz Shockey's work matters in day-to-day neurofeedback. Every neurofeedback session is a conversation with rhythms. Alpha, theta, beta, and the high-frequency activity that sometimes raises eyebrows are the vocabulary you already speak. Georgie Buzz Shockey's core contribution is that he gave that vocabulary a grammar. He argued, with decades of evidence behind him, that brain rhythms are not passive reflections of brain states, but functional organizing tools that help the brain coordinate large populations of neurons in time. That reframing changes what you see on the screen. Instead of treating band power as a standalone score, Buzz Shockey's work pushes you to think in terms of coordination, how well signals line up, timing, when activity occurs within a cycle, and state, whether the brain is in a mode suited to learning, consolidating, or simply surviving the afternoon. Those are not philosophical add-ons. They are often the difference between a meaningful pattern and a misleading one. A career built around a single obsession, timing. Buzz Shockey is a Hungarian-American systems neuroscientist best known for explaining how rhythmic activity supports memory, learning, and large-scale brain coordination. He is a professor at the Grossman School of Medicine at New York University, where his lab has been a major driver of modern thinking on hippocampal dynamics and oscillations. His influence has been recognized with major awards that explicitly credit his work for clarifying how inhibitory microcircuits and network rhythms support cognition. But his real legacy is conceptual. He gave the field a principled way to talk about why the brain oscillates, not just that it does. Rhythms as the brain's timing language, not decorative background. An oscillation is a repeating pattern of electrical activity. In EEG terms, it is the wave you see scrolling across the trace. The practical insight, and the one Buzz Shockey hammered home throughout his career, is what oscillations do. They create predictable timing windows that make coordinated firing more likely. A key concept here is phase, meaning where you are in the oscillation cycle. Near the peak versus near the trough is not a trivial distinction. If neurons fire at consistent phases, downstream circuits can read activity more effectively, because it arrives when the system is receptive. Buzz Shockey described this idea as a kind of neural syntax, a temporal grammar that helps the brain coordinate and interpret population activity. He also emphasizes cell assemblies, temporary coalitions of neurons that fire together to represent or compute something. In clinical language, you can think of an assembly as the flexible team that supports attention right now and memory retrieval a moment later. The important point for practitioners is that assemblies are not tagged to one frequency band. They are shaped by timing relationships across rhythms and across states. Memory as a switching system, online learning versus offline consolidation. Much of Buzz Shockey's most influential work centers on the hippocampus, a structure crucial for episodic memory and spatial navigation. One of his enduring ideas is that memory depends on the brain switching between network modes. In simplified terms, one mode supports online processing during active behavior, often associated with hippocampal theta activity at roughly 4 to 12 Hz in hippocampal recordings. Another mode supports offline processing during quiet wake and non-REM sleep, when the brain reorganizes and stabilizes recent experience. A famous physiological marker of that offline processing is the sharp wave ripple, a brief hippocampal event that combines a slower sharp wave with a fast ripple burst. You are unlikely to isolate ripples directly from standard scalp EEG, but the clinical implication travels well. Quiet rest and sleep are computationally active periods, and state-sensitive dynamics can be central to long-term learning. If you have ever wondered why a client's gains seem to consolidate after a good night's sleep rather than during the session itself, Buzz Shockey's two-stage model offers a physiologically grounded explanation. Gamma and inhibition. Why fast rhythms require caution and good mechanics. Gamma oscillations are often discussed in shorthand as fast processing, but Buzz Shockey's work insists on mechanism. Gamma rhythms are strongly shaped by inhibition, the neural activity that suppresses other neural firing in order to control timing and stability. A particularly important mechanism is perisomatic inhibition, inhibitory input near a neuron's cell body that can powerfully regulate spike timing. In their influential review, Bashaki and Wang argue that these inhibitory mechanisms help generate and stabilize gamma rhythms. In other words, gamma is not simply more activity. It is precisely timed activity, gated by inhibition. For neurofeedback providers, the practical translation is conservative and immediate. Scalp-recorded high-frequency power can be heavily contaminated by EMG artifact and environmental noise. Mechanistic gamma is real, but gamma-looking signals on the scalp are often not brain-derived. Bashaki's framework encourages a simple discipline. Treat fastband targets as credible only when your acquisition quality and artifact controls justify that interpretation. If your impedances are questionable or your client is clenching their jaw, that burst of gamma may be telling you about the masseter, not the cortex. The bridge from spikes to scalp EEG. Why interpretation must stay population level. Bashaki's lab is also known for high-density recordings that capture both spikes, single neuron firing, and local field potentials, LFBs, in behaving animals. An LFB is a local voltage signal reflecting some synaptic and slower electrical activity in a region of tissue. The clinical relevance is conceptual but important. Rhythms are emergent population phenomena shaped by anatomy, excitation-inhibition interactions, and behavioral state rather than one-to-one signatures of single psychological traits. This is a strong corrective for overly literal biomarker stories. The next time you are tempted to say that a particular metric is attention or is anxiety, Bashaki's framework asks you to pause. A QEG pattern is a hypothesis about network organization, not a direct readout of a psychological construct. That distinction is not pedantic. It protects you from overcommitting to interpretations that the data cannot support. Practical meaning for neurofeedback providers. What changes when you think like Bashaki? Bashaki did not create mainstream neurofeedback protocols, but he provides a disciplined theory of what EEG rhythms plausibly represent. For providers, three practice-facing implications stand out. Amplitude-only goals are incomplete. Band power can matter, but it is often a coarse proxy for coordination. When feasible and defensible, consider timing-informed features such as synchrony, stability, phase relationships, and cross-frequency coupling, while remaining conservative about interpretability and artifact. State becomes a primary clinical variable. If learning and memory depend on switching modes, then sleep quality, fatigue, hyperarousal, and vigilance are not noise. They are the context that determines what a rhythm means and whether training generalizes. Bashaki, 1989. Asking your client how they slept last night is not small talk. It is clinically relevant data collection. The QEG is a map, not the territory. Use it to guide questions, not to end inquiry. Bashaki's rhythm-first approach supports interpreting EEG through physiology, anatomy, and behavior rather than single-number explanations. Integrative summary. Bashaki's lasting contribution is the argument that brain rhythms are not decorative byproducts, but organizing principles. Oscillations provide timing windows that structure when neurons can fire together, helping build transient cell assemblies that support perception, memory, and action. His work on hippocampal network modes ties learning to state, emphasizing that quiet rest and sleep are active phases of neural change rather than downtime. His mechanistic treatment of fast rhythms cautions against simplistic gamma narratives, particularly when measurement is vulnerable to artifact. For neurofeedback providers, the practical payoff is a more physiologically faithful model. Train with respect for timing, coordination, and state, and interpret band metrics as approximations of population dynamics rather than direct readouts of psychological traits. Bashaki's work does not tell you to abandon what you are doing. It tells you to understand why it might work and to hold your interpretations with the rigor that the underlying physiology demands. 5 key takeaways. 1. Brain rhythms are coordination tools, not just biomarkers. Oscillations create timing windows that organize neural firing. 2. Timing matters more than amplitude alone. Phase relationships and synchrony can reflect network organization more directly than power measures by themselves. 3. State is the substrate. Sleep, quiet rest, and vigilance shift network modes that shape learning and memory, making state assessment a clinical priority, not an afterthought. 4. Be conservative with high-frequency claims. Mechanistic gamma is real, but scalp measures are easily confounded by EMG and noise. Trust your fastband data only when your recording quality earns that trust. 5. Use QEG as a map, not the territory. Interpret metrics through physiology, anatomy, and behavior rather than single-number explanations.